Mish, are you? Wednesday is Yom Yomet Gush, so some of us will not be fortunate.
Huh?
Is that our last year?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure after
today. Maybe today's our last year if you won't be here on Wednesday.
No, there are others. Wednesday, do you take a break after Tisha B'Av?
Depends. If there's interest, I can come in. Otherwise, it doesn't pay for me to come in. So that's why I told Harvey, you sign a petition.
Kola guys in the room?
Yeah, we usually have a rotation, you know. Every day is covered by another Kola guy. Okay, Rabosai, we have the Sugyan Daf Yud Gimel that records Machlokas Tanoim between Rebbe and Chachamim with regard to reading Kriyat Shema and other Lashonos. And if you recall, Rebbe Shita is that Kriyat Shema Kiksova, Rashi says it has to be B'Lashon Kodesh, and Rebbe derives that from Vahoyu. The Chachamim hold B'chol Lashon. And the Chacham derived that from the Pasuk Shema, B'chol Lashon Shata Shomea. So what I'd like to do, this is a research project for today, is dedicated, I don't know if it's the last year or not, but to dedicate this year to try to understand what's the status of Lashonos as far as various mitzvahs in the Torah. Because if you take a look in the Rambam, in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, he paskins, I'll try to get this all together here, I'm trying to share this table with everyone else here. The Rambam paskins the following. This is Perek Beis Mehilchos Kriyat Shema, Halacha Aleph. And the Rambam says, just a second, let's take a look at Halacha Yud. Okay. Kora Adam Es Shema, B'chol Lashon She'yeh, Makira. Now, the language of the Rambam, B'chol Lashon She'yeh, Makira, sounds like what? He has to understand. The Rambam seems to assume that condition without doubting anything about it. So who's giving the Shiur Met Gush? Maybe I should go too. It can't be Rav Lichtenstein. He's gone. Okay. I don't know if I can organize my shiur in such a way that it doesn't conflict with other shiurim. You know, I don't know. I feel very badly about that. That there should be, you know, that there should be a conflict between the time for our shiur and the time for other shiurim. No, I know. For example, on Thursdays also, I think you have another shiur that you go to, right? That's Herzl Hefter. So again, I'm back to square one, where there's a conflict. So.
It's a different thing. This is
once a year from Sunday to Thursday.
It's not only on Wednesday.
It's on Thursday.
That's right. Every
yesterday
day
is on Tuesday, it's on Thursday. So
no,
that doesn't have to be on Thursday.
Say it again, it's on
week, Sunday,
goes
Thursday.
From Thursday.
But it's once a year, the week
before Tisha B'Av. Right. So wait a second, so today is not part of the Yom Yom?
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to go for five full days. It's 5 hours, it's 8 hours a day.
Well, so you go Sunday,
Thursday. 8 hours a day. Wow.
From 9 to 5
there on Monday and Wednesday.
8 hours a day in the Gush is like 24 hours a day in another yeshiva.
Well, it's not the yeshiva.
So, 1 second. So, today you chose to come, but what happens on Wednesday?
Wednesday and Thursday, they also have English shiurim, so it's English. You have a choice of English.
Oh, I see. So, today is Hebrew and Wednesday is.
We're going to the one on Wednesday and Thursday.
Because that's in English?
Yes. Easier to follow.
All right. And it's 8 hours.
Yeah.
Times two.
Okay,
that's 6 hours. Okay, I don't see how our shit could work out with such a schedule. And even if you could make it back here at midnight, you'd probably be pretty exhausted anyway. So I guess I'm going to assume that this is the last shift of the Zman. If you're interested in getting together next week, so let me know. You know, but again, if I don't hear from a nucleus of people, we'll take a break for Bein Zman. It's all Nishkefel. You know, nothing.
Is everybody going to this Gush thing?
How many people would want to hear Shia on Wednesday? No, you Wednesday you'll be in the Gush.
Yeah,
so I'm saying, how many people would want to hear Shia here? Just a deal. An hour. Two.
Four, I
think. Well, you feel you're not going to the Gush?
No.
You don't speak English?
Yeah.
That's right. It's a very appropriate topic for today. All right, so believe that we will have Shira on Wednesday. Okay, fine. Okay, well, all right. So we'll try to iron this all out. You know, it's hard for me to work with your schedule. I mean, I put so much work in the Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I can't get anyone to come. So it's been very hard for me.
What's on Tuesdays and Thursdays?
I'm used to it. I've been treated a little differently, you know, in the past. So trying to get organized. What?
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, you're learning brachas.
I'm learning brachas, bikiyas, but we're doing the agadah. We do a pretty thorough job, I think. You know, we look into the Masifta, gives a lot of comments, and then we broaden it. We look in Rav Kook, which is pretty wild stuff. But again, I'm eager to teach whatever you're interested in my teaching. But and then also keep in mind the program was meant to be a chavrusa program. And again, I've said this over and over again, I'm willing to throw in my whole weight to make sure that we organize chavrusas, but, you know, I'm very happy that you come for Shia, but that, to me, that's a failure, you know, as far as the program is concerned. When I say the program, I don't mean the program. Again, we don't come because of the program. What I mean to say is that I created what I thought was a valid way of pulling people together to learn b'chavrusa. This is not meant to be spoon-fed. This is not art scroll. This is learning b'iyun. And to learn b'iyun, you have to go through the Maror Mekoyimus. You know, you have to really give a little push, a little mesiras nefesh. Now, I realize there are other shiurim going on, and I can't compete with them, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm just expressing, if you don't mind, you know, sometimes, every so often, I like to, you know, lift things off my heavy chest, and, you know, this is, this to me is a very important piece of the puzzle. You know, I get a lot of chiyus from this. So I applaud everyone who comes, and I thank you for that. If you have any ideas, you know, we can discuss it on Wednesday, if you like, or maybe if you won't be here on Wednesday, it's not going to be good, but any other time, you know, let me know. Okay then. So whatever. What time is it now? We didn't. How much time do we lose?
10 to 12.
10 to 12. Oh, so we only lost 5 minutes. Okay, in Nishkefel, 5 minutes. You'll be mocking. Okay.
Start the Rambam.
Yeah, we started the Rambam, and we'll go on.
I don't know if it gives it. My Rambam, which I have here on Hebrew books, because we're writing, you know, the Reisman edition. It
right.
Doesn't say Makira. It says Mevina.
Mine too.
Mevina. Okay, that's good. I actually didn't get a chance to research that. Usually, the Frankel Rambam will give you all the different girsos, and then he has a whole system by which he paskins which girsa to use.
Yeah.
He doesn't exclude the other girsos, and in the past I've given full shiurim on a different girsa, but whether it's what I have here in the Frankel is Makira, you have Mivina. And I think in the classical realms it says Mivina, if I'm not mistaken. Do you have Mitch the classical realm? Mivina, right. He changed it to Makira based on, you know, again, his hierarchy of Kisvei.
Yeah.
But I think whether it's the main thing is that it's a mapik hay at the end. It really should say b'chol lashon shu makir, but makira is a reference to the lashon. Lashon is lashon the cave. So whether it's makira mivina, I don't know. I'm sure you could differentiate between the two with a hair's breadth of difference. But for our purposes, it's quite clear that he has to understand what he's saying. That's what the Rambam says. He could read it in any language, but he has to understand that language.
Those two words are very close. You could easily see how you can make a mistake.
Ah, okay. That's a good point, right? So, Rabosa, I'm trying to figure out where I was holding. Just let me get myself organized. Okay. So, the Chacham say b'chol lashon, the Rambam passes like Chacham. Oh, so I just wanted to show you that the Kesef Mishnah points out. Well, some of what the Kesavish says is obvious, but he gives us a very important Maramaka, which has opened up my mind, you know, to this whole shiur that we want to do today. He says the following: Braisa Sham, Pluta de Rebbe for Rabbanon, Uposakir Rabbanon. why do we passing like the Rabbanon? So you and I wouldn't have had much to even question about that, because Yochanan Rab Malach Rab, he just wants to point out that even though we usually passing like Rebbe, and if Rebbe is arguing with someone else, he gets the upper hand, but here in the case of Chavei Rav, when it's against the Rabbin, we passing like the Rabbin, and therefore we passing like the Rabbanon. Okay, good. So far, so simple. But then he says something else. He said, "Va'od the sosam lantana de masnis and kavasai." I guess Rebbe himself, although he was the author of the Mishnah, he admitted that the halacha was accepted like the Chachamim. And by writing a stam Mishnah in Sota, he indicates, because Kriyat Shema is listed amongst all those that are Ne'emar B'chol Lashon, you can recite them in any language, that Kriyat Shema is also Ne'emeres B'chol Lashon, like the Shita of the Chacham. Okay. Tosus has another proof that we pass on like Chacham, but that's not for us now. This Kesef Mishnah, I thought was very, very important, because otherwise we might miss out on a very exciting discussion here about the Mishnah in Sota. The Mishnah in Sota has the first Mishnah in the seventh parak of Sota. Elu ne'mar, a whole list. Elu ne'mar b'chol lashon. What's on the list? Parsha Sota. Okay, it makes sense that Rebbe put that first because he's learning Masechta Sota. Then he's got Vidui Maaser. We're referring here to Maaser Sheni, of course. And it's a whole parasha Vidui Maaser in which a person has to come and he recites, you know, out of a sense of pride, all the mitzvahs that he fulfilled in Maaser Sheni. Then he's got Kriyat Shema, which is very important for us today, because this is the Kesef Mishnah, says this is the raya for the Rambam to pass like the Chachamim, that Kriyat Shema is Nemeres B'chol Lashon, Utfila, Ubirchas HaMazon, Ushvuas HaEdus, Ushvuas HaPikadon. That's the list of those mitzvot that can be recited in any language. Then the Mishnah goes on to list others that require Lashon Kodesh. So what I want to analyze with you is the following. Is this Mishnah what I call, I'm just using this as a symbolic phrase, Miksha Achas? Meaning, does everything here listed on this Mishnah have the same identical halacha? That's going to be my question for today. Obviously, your knee-jerk response should be what? Yes, I mean, the Mishnah just swallows it up together, but Bli Achas. So what I want to do with you is go through some of the highlights of this sugya, and then open up the Rambam. The sugya goes through every one on this list and tries to find out what is the source, how do we know that these mitzvahs can be recited in any language. So obviously the Mishnah starts with Sota. Parsha Sota Minolan. How do we know that in the case of Sota, the Parsha is Nemeres B'chol Lashon? Dichsiv, because the Torah says, this is in Parshas Nasa, the Parsha of Sota, the Amar HaKohen Le'isha. And the Gemara reads it in the following way, that the word V'Amar and the word La'isha are both ribuyim. V'Amar is telling me in any language. The Kohen can recite in any language. La'isha, and she receives it in any language. Says the Gemara, V'Omer b'chol lashon shu omer. And Tana Rabbanon mashmi'in osa b'chol lashon shehi shomas. And then the Brisa goes on to tell us that she listens to the Kohen in any language. And what does she hear? She gets an answer to the following question, Almayi Shosa, why is she drinking this concoction? And not only that, Bamei Shosa, meaning what is this Shtia going to lead to? Alma Nitnes Ubamehi Nitnes. And this goes on and on and on. Now, I want to point out to you that Rashi, I think, emphasizes something very important. And he says, V'omar el ha'isha b'chol lashon shehi shomas. This is not a reference to the auditory ability of a person to hear sounds. But rather, Rashi says, Mashma shedvarim nichnasim b'liba. This has to penetrate into our heart. I'm giving you a literal translation of Rashi. And therefore, she has to understand exactly what's being said to her. So just to summarize, on the one hand, we have a ribui. On the other hand, I see a mute, so to speak. What do I mean? Elu ne'mar b'chol lashon parsha sota. The Torah is saying that parsha sota has a ribui. We could expand it and broaden it to any language. It doesn't require lashon kodesh. But on the other hand, we have to point out this is a very important proviso here. And that is b'chol lashon shehi shomas. It's not just a carte blanche hefkevelt here, but rather Rashi says dvarim anichnasim b'lipo.
That doesn't make sense, because if you have b'chol lashon, obviously one of the lashonos is going to be one that she understands.
No, but the question is, what happens? I don't know, Rabbi, if you know Italian. Do you speak Italian?
Not at all.
You don't speak Italian. Neither do I. So we're in good shape together here. What would be if we read to a sota, parsha sota, in Italian, and she doesn't know a word of Italian?
Correct, but they have to recite it in the language that she understands.
Good, so that's exactly, I think, what Rashi's pointing out. Italian is not an automatic heksher of sota, meaning Italian could be a valid candidate for the parish of sota and the mitzvah of sota, but only if she understands it. So on the one hand, you're expanding, you're saying I don't need Lashon Kodesh, but on the other hand, you're qualifying by saying she has to understand that language.
Rabbi meaning to say that the Kohen Gadol would speak Italian knowing that she doesn't understand Italian?
Oh, so that's a good point. I mean, what was the Havamina? So you're a few steps ahead of me, but let me sort of develop it. I'm going to come back to your point. Okay? The rabbi's making a very good point here, and that is, what was the Havamina here? If she doesn't understand the language, what meaning does it have?
But
Rabosai, what I'm going to try to show you, like Alan, just give me a second here. As we go through the sugya, point by point, case by case, mitzvah by mitzvah, I'm not sure, and that's why I want you to be sensitive to, if the Gemara is going to repeat this proviso every single time. Now the truth is that you might say to me, well, the Gemara doesn't have to repeat this proviso, this condition. Why? Because it said it once, or because there was no Havmina otherwise. And again, I'm just giving you a methodological heads up in terms of how I operate. You don't have to accept my premises, but that's the way I operate. I would say the following, that sometimes if you read a Gemara and you think that the Gemara felt there's no need to reemphasize it, which is a valid possibility that I'm not too happy about, but I can live with it. I can't live with it if I open up the Rambam, and especially if the Rambam is tzavarfin, you know, to use the Yiddish word, he's spread out all over the place. It's not like the Gemara here that brings this all to explain the Mishnah, but the Rambam is here, there, and elsewhere. It's very difficult for me to assume, again, this is the methodological premise of the Shia today, that the Rambam is relying on what he wrote elsewhere. So in other words, my Shita here, again, I don't know what you'll hear on Wednesday, but my shita here is that when you read a Rambam, it's a self-contained unit. And I have to tell you, not everyone would agree with that. For example, again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but the Chazon Ish has a totally different pair of glasses when he reads the Rambam. You know, the Chazon Ish will see a Rambam here and a Rambam there, and he'll put it all together, and you know, what the Rambam left out here, he meant to say here, or he said here, and he left it out there, and it's all al tzazam, and it's a happy family. Okay, so Alan, go ahead. I haven't gotten to first base yet, but you know,
right,
go ahead.
Well, this hopefully will take you off first base. But I want to know, what is the Rambam emphasizing that she has to understand, meaning that the Kohen does not have to understand?
I don't know about the Rambam. I'm talking about Rashi. Rashi seems to emphasize that she has to understand. Dvarim hanichnasim b'libo. I don't see that Rashi said anything about the Kohen. So let's leave that off. Again, that's not going to be the mainstay of my discussion today, I have to tell you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take Sota, I'm going to take this Rashi about Dvarim HaNichnasim Aliba, and then I want to see how to flesh it out in other mitzvahs. When a Shvuah, for example, it's going to be the next discussion we have, is being imposed on someone, does that person, if he accepts the Shvuah in a different language, have to understand that language? Okay? Or for example, when I recite Vidui Masros in a different language, can I fulfill that mitzvah if I don't understand that other language? When I say Vaitan, I'm going to go through the entire kit and caboodle and see, as I said at the outset, this is like a research project. So let's see how the Gemara develops this. Vidui Maser. Okay? How do we know, Minolan, that it could be read in any language? Dichsiv, V'yamarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, bi'arti hakodesh min habayis. The opening word in this parasha is V'yamarta. And the Gemara sees in that word a code word. Because keep in mind, when we spoke about the Kohen in the case of Sota, again, the opening word was V'yamar, correct? In the case of the Kohen. And the Gemara says the following, Yolif Amira Misota, we're going to derive from the Amarta of Maisesheni, Vidui Maisesheni to the Amar in Sota. And what conclusion are we going to derive? Now listen carefully to the language of the Gemara. Bechol Lashon Shehu Omer. Do you sense any subtle difference between the language here and the language in Sota? Yeah, in the case of Sota, the case was the language of the Brisa was Bechol Lashon Shehi Shomas, and Rashi understands Shomas has nothing to do with, again, you know, these the what do you call it, the auditory listening, right? But rather, it has to do with Dvar Anichnasim Liliba.
Well, that wasn't from the Omar. That was from the Elisha. You had two different.
Right. No, I'm just saying. Rashi is saying that even if you'll take the word V'omar La'isha, and you'll say V'omar is the Kohen in any language, and La'isha is to the Isha in any language. But Rashi makes a whole big to-do here, which he doesn't make in Vidui Maser, about the fact that she understands the language, and it's Dvar Manichnasim Aliba. All it says with regard to Vidui Maser is that it's Bechol Lashon Shehu Omer. Meaning, if I translate, again, I don't know what our art school translates, but my translation would say, any language that it is recited in is okay. What proviso was omitted here? That he understands the language. Could it be, that's why I'm throwing out a radical idea here, that when it comes to Vidui Maser, it's true that we're going to derive Amira from Sota, but that's only as far as the Ribui is concerned, that any language is okay, B'chol Lashon Shehu Omer. But as far as the additional precondition, namely as a miut, that it's not just B'chol Lashon Shehu Omer, but it's B'chol Lashon Shehu Omer V'hi Mevina, V'shomas, that proviso I don't see. Again, you're going to argue, and it's a good argument, that maybe the Gemara didn't have to spell that out, because the Gemara felt it was relying on Sota. Okay? So that's what I want to see as we go through.
There's two different things. There's the Omar HaKohen, and here's the Omar. Both of them is Shehu Omer. That's it.
Right, so then you're going back to Alan's question with the Kohen has to understand. I'm not.
No.
Yeah. But the part about the Shomea is in Elisha. So that is.
Right, but the Omar includes the Shomea. Again, the Amira in the case of Vidui Masers is the Shomea as well. You know, in the case of Kohen, you happen to have two personalities. You have.
Difference.
Right. So it could be that in the case of Sota, she has to understand the language, and in the case of Vidui, he can recite and fulfill his mitzvah Vidui, even though he's not a Shomea. Meaning, not that he's deaf, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that he doesn't understand what he's hearing. And again, if that's what the Gemara means, that a man can recite Vidui without understanding, trust me, you're not going to find this anywhere, you know, only here, so. But we're gonna offer that as a possibility. Okay, Rabbi Moshe, again, if you could just give me a few minutes to show you what I see here as a pattern. What about the case of Kriyat Shema? In the case of Kriyat Shema, the Gemara says clearly that according to the Rabbanon, Shema Bechol Lashon Shata Shomea. Here, the Kriya requires, if I understand the Gemara correctly, because it could have said V'shama Bechol Lashon, period. And I asked you this question last week, you remember? If anybody remembers. Why does the Gemara add those two words, Sha'ata Shomea? And the answer is, I believe that there's another requirement here. As much as we want to broaden the possibility for the possibilities for the fulfillment of Kriyat Shema to include a whole long list of 70 languages, but at the same time, we're going to add another proviso, namely Shehu Shomea, and I'm going to show you this in all the poskim, and especially in the Rambam that we began with, whether it's Makira or Mevina, as we get back to the Rambam. What about Shavua? And that's the sugya here on Daf Lamed Gimel. It's all part of the same sugya. The Gemara says that as far as Shavua is concerned, there's a pasuk that says, okay, there are two types of Shavua. The first type of Shavua is Shavua Sa'edus. In Shavua Sa'edus, it says, V'nefesh ki sechta v'shoma kol ola b'chol lashon shehi shomas. He is a reference to the nefesh. And again, it's the emphasis here is on what? Not just the expansion that the Shavua Sa'edus that I'm imposing on the aid is in a different language, but on the limitation, the qualification, that person, in this case the aid, has to understand the Shavua. What about Shavua Sa'pikado? Let's say you ask me to return your object that I was watching, and I say I gave back to you, or I didn't take it, or it was an ones, whatever it might be. So I have to take a Shavua. That's called Shavua Sa'shomrim. Is Asya Techto Techto Mishavua Sa'edus? So the Gemara now postulates an equation between Shavua Sa'pikado and Shavua Sa'edus. Fine. So if in Shavua Sa'pikado is B'chol Lashon Shishomas, as we saw in Kriyat Shema B'chol Shishomea, and as we saw in Sotah Chol Lashon Shehi Shomas, then in all these cases I need to understand the language. But in Vidui Meiser it says Chol Lashon Shehu Omer. Let's check out Birchas Hamazon. Birchas Hamazon, the Gemara says, again, it's all on the list. B'chol Lashon. Tichsiv. V'achalta v'savata uveirachta Hashem Elokecha b'chol lashon. What are the next two words? Without looking in the Gemara, Shata Shomea, right? No, that's not what it says. But b'chol lashon shata mevarech, which sounds like which case? Like vidi ma'aseh, just like a vidi ma'aseh. It doesn't say b'chol lashon shata shomea, but b'chol lashon shata omer. Here it says b'chol lashon shata mevarech. The Gemara says tefillah is very interesting. With regard to tefillah, the Gemara says rachmeninu, that tefillah is rachamim, and therefore b'chol lashon. Again, the addition of b'chol lashon shata shomea is left out. So again, Rabbi will say, I'm not telling you that I would come to any radical drastic conclusions based on these diukim in the Gemara. However, when I open up the Rambam and I see a certain consistent pattern in the Rambam, then I begin to take this very, very seriously. So up until now, whatever I told you is Purim Torah. Until I can open up the Rambam and try to show you that maybe it's not Purim Torah. And maybe this is very, very serious. Okay, so now we're going to take an excursion into the world, the universe of the Rambam. So we'll start with the Rambam in Hilchos Sota, following the pattern of the Gemara, which I think I had, and I lent it to someone. Let's see if I got it back. It's probably somewhere on this table if I got it back. If I didn't get it back, then Ishus. This is it?
I don't know.
This is Haflo. Okay. The bottom line is, hold on to your Rambam. All right. So, let me see if by chance I can. You have the Rambam here?
Yeah, if you want. So,
all right, good. So, we won't use the Frankel Rambam. There's no Xeris HaKosa that we have to use the Frankel Rambam. Hilchos Sota is Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin. Oh, Shkeh God. Okay. Ooh, it's a small print here.
Make it bigger.
Oh, v'acherkach mashbia hakohen b'lashon shehi makeres. Okay, so if we wanted to equate that with the Rambam Kriyat Shema, we'd have makira as opposed to mevina. But again, Okay, so shehi makeres, good. And so the Rambam is very careful about adding the proviso, which we were medayking in the Gemara, and which Rashi, if you could have missed it in the Gemara, Rashi emphasizes and embellishes. We'll see a very similar pattern in Hilchos Shavuos. Okay, that I have. And Mitch, you can open up to Hilchos Shavuos. We're starting with Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin. This is the case of Shavuos HaPikadon. And the Rambam says, the Eino Chayev B'Shavuos HaPikadon Ad She'yashbiu B'Loshon Shehu Makira. What is the Rambam teaching me here? Does he have to understand the language? Yeah. Yes, absolutely. The Rambam is outspoken about that. Then we fast forward to Perek Tes, Halacha Yud Beis, and the Rambam is talking about Shvuas HaEdus, the Ein HaEdim Chayovim Ad Sheyashbiim B'Loshon SheMakirin Osa. Again, the Rambam is consistent, and he requires that the aid who receives this Shvuas HaEdus understand the language that's being spoken. And that's very good, because we saw that in the Gemara in Sota. Right? What did the Gemara in Sota say? I put it away here, but maybe I could open it again. The Gemara said in Sota, Bechol Lashon Shehi Shamas. Rambam has it. Okay? So far, so good. Now we get to Vidui Matzah. Is that on my list? Okay, good. If I skipped anything, please tell me. The Rambam says in Vidui Matzah, okay? Thank you. What does he say in Vidui Matzah? Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Hey. Says the Rambam, Vidui Zeh, Nemar B'chol Lashon. What are the next two words in the Rambam? Shehi Mevino, right? No. Shehi Makira, okay. Shehi Makira.
I don't have anything.
You don't have anything? Guess what? Neither do I. Because the Rambam left it out. Now you'll tell me that the Rambam was relying here in Hilchos Vidui Matzah on what he wrote in Hilchos Shavuos and Hilchos Sota. And I'm going to tell you, that's Baba Maisa. Or as the British might say, it's rubbish. Correct? I'm learning a little British here. Okay, it'll take me quite a while till I say ha. You know what I mean? So Rabosai, if my deal, you see, the beauty of the Rambam is that you could learn not only from what the Rambam says, but also from the Rambam omits. Why didn't the Rambam emphasize B'chol Lashon Shehi Makira in Vidui Matzah the way he did consistently in four different cases, namely in Hilchos Sota, number two in Hilchos Shavuos HaPikadon, number three in Hilchos Shavuos HaEdus, and number four in Hilchos Kriyat Shema. Here in Vidui Matzah he leaves it alone. Yeah, I'll get back to Kriyat Shema in a minute. I think you have that on your page, but I'll read it. I thought I read it before, but I'll read it again. But before I do that, I want to show you something pretty amazing. And that is the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos says the following. Kol HaBrachos Kulon, this Perek Alpha Lachavav, Nemarin B'chol Lashon. Next two words, Shehu Makira, right? No. B'chol Lashon. The Rambam says that whatever language you use, you have to recite Me'ein HaBracha. It's got to be a valid or meticulous translation of the Nusach HaBracha. We can't be Mishan in the Madbeh HaBracha. But nevertheless, the Rambam leaves out the word Shehi Makira. And in Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam requires that we begin our tefillah, as far as Magen Avraham is concerned, with a kavana, that's avos, but then he completely drops the requirement of kavana, of understanding, that it's all gone. So Rabosai, what I want to submit to you here is that you read the Mishnah in Sota, Elu Nemar B'chol Lashon, you have a whole long list, and you believe intuitively that it's Mikshachas, as we said, but it's really not Mikshachas. let's just review. In the cases of Sota and Kriyat Shema and Shavuos Eidah Shavuos HaPikadon, clearly the Gemara requires Kalosh Shata Mevina. Rashi embellishes this in the case of Sota, that it has to be Nechnasim El Liva. And the Rambam consistently in all those four mitzvahs requires Loshen Shema Keres. Number two, when we get, however, to Vidui Masas, B'cholosh Shata Omer, when we get to the case of Brachos, meaning Birkas HaMazon in the Gemara's case, B'cholosh Shata Omer, Tefillah is Rachmeinu, the Gemara certainly doesn't mention B'cholosh and Shumakir, and the Rambam consistently in these three cases, did I leave anything out, in Vidui Maaser and in Birkas HaMazon, or all Brachos for that matter, and in Tefillah, the Rambam doesn't require B'cholosh Shata Omer. In other words, what it comes out here is that Vidui Maaser is a very, I don't know what to say, it's a very paradoxical halacha. Because on the one hand, we derive from the equation V'yamar V'yamarta that there is a halacha b'chol lashon derived from Sota to Vidui Maaser. But on the other hand, the requirement of Shitehei Makeres, so Nechneses Eliva in the Rashi's language, that applies to Sota, does not apply to Vidui Maaser. That far we don't go. Ayil Esvi Ein Hekesh Lamach. So yeah, but the truth is that there are more exceptions to the rule than the rule itself. What I mean to say is that when we have a Gzeirah Shavah, what we do is we derive a fundamental principle for that Gzeirah Shavah, but we don't apply it when it doesn't have to apply. Meaning, like Tosus points out, there's a Gzeirah Shavah of Havaya L'Yetziah between Gittin and Kiddushin. We don't, you know, therefore Shtar works by Gittin, it works by Kiddushin. It doesn't mean that Bia that works by Kiddushin is going to work by Gittin. So, in other words, every kind of an equation has to be understood. What do we derive fundamentally from that equation? The Gemara, for example, this is the first Reb Chaim in the Sefer, has an equation between Rotseach and Gilui Arayis. And Reb Chaim points out in the Rambam that even though the Gemara equates Rotseach and Gilui Arayis as far as Yehorik Val Yavar is concerned, they're two separate dinim. With regard to Gilui Arayis, it doesn't make any difference in the Rambam's frame of reference whether she does an action or she doesn't do an action. And with regard to Rotseach, there's such a thing called Ritzicha B'Shevi Altas, passive Ritzicha, you have to know exactly what the case is, and there is no din of Yeharik Val Yafar. So what I'm just trying to point out to you here is that in the case of Vidui Maaser, although we derive the Halacha B'chol Lashon from an equation to Sota, they're two different dinim. In Sota, the Halacha is that the reading of the Parsha is in any language, but with the proviso that the person who's hearing that language, yeah, I'm not going into the Kohen, but at least the Sota itself, she has to understand that language. And we've seen that that applies in the case of Shvuah, whether it's Shvuah Seidah, Shvuah HaPikadon, as well. In Kriyat Shema, we said that the Halacha of Shema means not just to listen or recite the Kriyat Shema, but also B'chol Lashon. Again, Rabbi asked me to read the Rambam again in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, right? Yeah, let's just read it again. Kore, Perek Beis Halacha Yud, Kore Adam Eshma B'chol Lashon Shia Makira. Or Mavino, whatever the language, whatever the text. Yeah. Correct. So we have Kriyat Shema, Sota, and Shavuos. Again, two halachas and Shavuos, all listed in the Mishnah in Sota with the extra proviso Shumakir. Then we have the case of Vidui Maaser, we have the case of Brachos and Birkas HaMazon, and we have the case of Tefillah, where the Rambam doesn't add that stipulation. And therefore, I submit to you that in those three cases of Vidui Maaser, of Brachos, and of Tefillah, the purpose or the requirement, once I've expanded it to any other language, is that it be an accurate translation, that it be recited in the matbea of the Torah or of the Chachamim, but not Shehi Makira, that you have to understand the language. Now, Rabosai, if you're going to walk out of this classroom and Paskin Shilas on the face of what we said, they will brand you rightfully so a total apikoros. All we're doing is we're trying to come to halachic conclusions based on the sources that we have. When you open up the Mishnah Berurah, you're going to probably get a whole different story, you know. But as my art teacher used to say, I don't care what you do in Mr. Brewer's class. That's just a joke. All right.
There's a commonality here. With the first three, with Sotar and the Shur. In both of those two, in those three cases, you have two people involved.
Yeah.
You have the Kohen, you have the Beis Din, being Mashpia, the other person. And therefore, the language that the Kohen or the Beis Din uses, they have to understand. That's why the Rambam establishes the language they understand. But when it says by Vigli Masir and Brachos, he's doing it himself. So he has to understand himself. You don't have to say, you have to understand the language that he's using has to be a language that you understand. The problem to me is Kriyat Shema.
Oh, so let's take a few minutes and talk about Kriyat Shema. Do you have the photocopy of the Bir Halacha that I gave to you? It's the first Bir Halacha in Siman. What was it? Siman Saman Beis, I think. Okay. So the Bir Halacha, and I want to give you a little bit of background before we see the Bir Halacha inside. And this I got from the Yalkut HaBiurim in the back of the Masifta Gemara. He quotes a tshuva of Rabbi Kivega. And Rabbi Kivega says the following. B'kriyat Shema, eino tzarech lahavin es amilos, pirish amilos. He doesn't have to understand the pirish amilos. Wait, okay, Mitch, you're hot on the trail. But let this soak in for a minute. I mean, we're going to see this in the Bir Halacha, but he doesn't quote Rabbi Kivega. But I think he's basing himself on Rabbi Kivega. This is pretty way out to say that in Kriyat Shema you don't have to understand what you're saying. We saw in the Rambam, Perek Beis Halacha Yud. He has to understand what he's saying in Kriyat Shema. And yet Rabbi Kivega, and again, I don't want to go through his proof. I spent an hour trying to, you know, Rabbi Kivega, his mathematics is so complicated. How he proved this based on our sugya. Maybe Hashem Yare Neinu. It's a very complicated proof that he has. But he says you don't understand what you're reading. So let me just point that, and I think, Mitch, you were saying this. L'chora, this was the last paragraph on the page, if you went through my Maror Makomos. There's a stira here in the Rambam. Meaning, certainly the Rambam in Halacha Yud Perek Beis indicates that you have to understand what you're saying in Kriyat Shema. You can't just recite, you know, words. But yet, the Rambam, in the first Halacha, in this very same Perek, says that, and he's talking about a case of Kori La'Agia. He says that all you have to require in Kriyat Shema is Kavanah B'Pasuk Rishon. That means, for the balance of Kriyat Shema, he doesn't require Kavanah. Now wait a second. If you're telling me, Rabbeinu Moshe, in Halacha Yud, that Kriyat Shema has to be written, has to be recited, bless you, in a language that you understand, And the Rambam doesn't qualify here that he only understands the first pasuk. You know, somebody gave him a crash course and he explained to him what Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad. That's not what it says in the Rambam. The Rambam says you can read Kriyat Shema in any language, providing that you understand the language. Which part of Kriyat Shema is the Rambam referring to? The whole Kriyat Shema, no? Is anybody with me on this?
Doesn't this thing we've all learned about Megillah the other day, which is if it's read Lashon HaKodesh, then it doesn't matter if you don't understand it. If it's going to be a foreign language, then you've got to understand
So Daniil's right, but let me just present the stira, and then we'll present your resolution of the stira. The Rambam at the end, in Halacha Yud of Perek Beis, when he talks about reciting Kriyat Shema in any language, the Rambam adds the proviso that he understands the language. That requirement applies from the beginning of Kriyat Shema till the end of Kriyat Shema. The Rambam sheet, of course, that all three parashas are Doraisa. The Rambam in Perek Beis is talking about a case where he only has Kavanah on Pasuk Rishon. Ribbono Shel Olam, how can he have kavod pasuk rishon when the Rambam requires that he understands the meaning of the words throughout the entire Kriyat Shema? In other words, the whole mitzius, the reality of the Rambam here in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph Lishitaso, makes no sense. What is the case that the Rambam is dealing with? The Rambam is saying he only has kavod on pasuk rishon. How can he only have kavod on pasuk rishon when the Rambam himself requires that he has to understand what he's saying? If he understands what he's saying, then he has kavod throughout all of Kriyat Shema. So the answer might be what Daniel says, that the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph has not yet presented to us the breakthrough that you can recite Kriyat Shema in any language, which is going to be, as the Kesavish points out, the Rambam's psak, like the Chachamim, based on the drasha Shema b'chol lashon shata shomea. The Rambam at this point is assuming that you're reading Kriyat Shema in what language? In Lashon Kodesh. And if you're reading the Kriyat Shema in Lashon Kodesh, then you don't have to understand a word of what you're reading, as long as you have Kavana in Pasuk Rishon, which, as we discussed at great length, is Kabbalas O Malchus Shomayim. So now Rabbo say, let's go back to Rabbi Kivega, and I'm going to read to you Rabbi Kivega. He says the following: B'kriyat Shema ein tzorech sheyovin pirush hamilos, eladai b'kach shemiskavin lekabel o malchus shamayim, im korei kriyat Shema b'lashon kodesh, v'eino tzorech lahavin is pirush hamilos. Now Rabbi Kivega is beautiful. Rabbi Kivega is making a distinction between reading kriyat Shema lashon kodesh on the one hand, and reading kriyat Shema in another language. And for some reason, Lashon Kodesh gets a very special preferential status, and you don't require Havanas, Pirush, Hamilos, and Kriyat Shema. I don't understand a word of what I'm reading, and I'm Yotze. With one proviso, that in the first Pasuk, I understand that I'm being Mekabel, O Malchus Shamayim. However, when does the Rambam require in Perek Beis Halacha Yud that you have an understanding of the entire Kriyat Shema from beginning to the end? That's only if you read it what? In another language, in Shal Lashonos. And this is a fundamental distinction that we're making between Kriyat Shema in Lashon Kodesh and Kriyat Shema in Shal Lashonos. And now if we come back to the Bir Halacha of the Mishnah Berurah, I think it makes sense. He says the following. First he tells you, B'chol Lashon, says the Mishnah Berurah, B'davka Shemevin B'yoso Lashon. This is on page 192 of your photocopy. And the Mishnah Berurah extends this to include even tefillah, berkas hamazon, kiddush, berkas mitzvahs, peiros v'halel. B'chol zeh l'mitzvah min hamuvchar, etc., etc. Then he goes on to say something fascinating, that I highly recommend, he says, that you read Kriyat Shema in Lashon Kodesh. Why? Ki yesh kama v'kama tevos she'ein anu yodim eich la'atikom heitev. I think la'atikom means here to interpret, to translate. Kigon, Tevas Vishinantam. It goes through a whole shtickl Torah, different possibilities what the word Vishinantam. Kigon S. That's interesting. I didn't know you have to understand what the word S means. Vitevas litotofos v'chadome. Avol kshanu korin kriyat Shema bil Lashon Kodesh. So again, Rabbi, so there are words in Kriyat Shema which we don't understand. So what do you gain by reading it in Lashon Kodesh? He says, Avol kishanu korin Shema bil Lashon Kodesh. Afilum eno mevin halashon yatsa. Unreal. There are words in Kriyat Shema that you and I don't understand, and we're not sure what they mean. And even if we'll study from here until Mashiach time, we won't know what they mean. But it doesn't matter, because in Kriyat Shema b'Lashon Kodesh, you can be yotze in any language. So now. So the Rai, I think, is to answer up this steer in the Rambam, because otherwise, how could the Rambam possibly say on the one hand that you yotze because you had kavan in the first pasuk, the rest of you kori like gia and you yotze, and yet the Rambam requires that you have to understand every single word? The answer is that the Rambam, in requiring that you understand every single word, is talking about someone who's korei B'shar L'shonos. The Rambam in the beginning of Perek Beis, when he says it's enough that you have kavan on the first pasuk, is talking about someone who's reading the Lashon Kodesh. And again, Rabbi Kivega has a whole proof of this, which is not for us now. Then I was wondering, if this be the case, would there be a difference in, let's take the three cases that we mentioned before in the Mishnah in Sota that require that you understand. Number one, Sota. Number two, Shvuas Ha'edus. Number three, Shvuas HaPikadon. In all these three cases, the Rambam adds, and the Gemara itself adds, the stipulation, Belosh Chumei Vina. Does that apply only if you're reading it in a Shar Lashon in translation, or would that requirement apply even when you're reading it in Lashon Kodesh? So for this, I want to show you another Rambam, which is on your page. And this is a Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos with regard to Shavuos HaDayon. Here he quotes his Rebbe, the Rimi Gash. The Rambam says the following. It should be Perek Yud Aleph, Haloch Yud Dal. There's a longer arichus here. The Rambam says Hadayonim Sheshbius Anishba. This is called Shvuas Hadayonim Bechol Lashon Shumakira. Again, there's no difference, says the Rambam, between Shvuas Hadayonim and the other two categories of Shvuas, right? Perek Yud Aleph Haloch Yud Dal in Hilchos Shvuas. Just like we said in Shvuas Eidus and Shvuas HaPikadon, we require that he understands the other language. So too with regard to Shvuas Hadayonim. V'chein horu ha-ga'onim, he goes back to the Gaonim. Who came in between the Gaonim and the Rambam? That was the Rimi Gash. Avo rabosai, horu she'ein mashbien ele b'loshon kodesh. And I was thinking to myself that maybe what the Rimi Gash is saying is that there's a great advantage to be mashbia b'loshon kodesh. Just like we saw in Rebbe Kivega, codified by the Mishnah Berurah in his Bir Halacha, that in Kriyat Shema there's a great advantage to reciting the parasha of Kriyat Shema in Lashon Kodesh, because then even if you don't understand what you're reading, your Yotzei, maybe that would be a great addition in the case of Shvuah. But guess what? The Rambam rejects it. V'ein roi lismoch al haroi azu. Despite what my Rebbe Paskin, I'm going back to the Gaon. V'af al pi shenagu kol betei dinim lashbia b'Lashon Kodesh. Okay, Lamaisa, that's what they do, says the Rambam. But that's not the Ikar Halacha. No, the Ikar Halacha is that you can be mashbia in any language. You don't have to be straitjacketed by the Rimi Gash, although the Midig is like the Rimi Gash. But then he says the following. V'afal pishen nagu kol batei dinim lashbia b'Lashon Kodesh tzorech lahodia es hanishba ad she makir loshen hashvua. We're talking about giving the nishba a lesson, you know, private lesson, and we have to pump him up and teach him what the words of the shvua mean. But Rabosai, what language is Rabbi talking about? Loshen Kodesh. Is that what we saw in Hilchos Kriyat Shema? The way Rabbi Kivega understood, and the way we reconciled the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Aleph with the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Yud, that in Kriyat Shema you could be Yotzei the Lashon Kodesh even if you don't understand the language, and that's why the Mishnah Berurah highly recommends and advocates that we recite Kriyat Shema and Lashon Kodesh. In the case of Shvuas HaDayanim, the Rambam requires that he understand the words of the Shvuah, even if it's being recited in Lashon Kodesh. And why does the Rambam say so? He says, Sheshvuas HaDayanim Hi Shvuas HaPikadon Biatzma. Because there's no difference between Shvuas HaDayanim, which includes all sorts of Shvuas Derabbanan, where normally we would say Nishba V'Niftar, he doesn't have to take the Shvuah. All those Shvuas are patterned after the classical Shvuah and Dayanim in Bezda, which is Doraisa, namely Shvuas HaPikadon. And the Rambam says that he has to understand the language. Okay. So Rabosa, let's just summarize what we have over here. On the one end, we've taken the Mishnah in Masechta Sota and divided it, smashed it into two different categories. What's common to both categories is that the mitzvah could be fulfilled in any language. Where we break it down into two separate tributaries, with regard to the question whether he has to understand it. In three out of the six cases, he does have to understand it. In three out of the other cases, he doesn't have to understand it. We proved this not only from the sugya, but also from the Rambam. Then we went on to Shlav Bet, as I call it, the second level. And that is within the context of, does he have to understand it? Does he not have to understand it? And specifically in those cases, like Sota, Shavuos Eidus, and Shavuos HaPikadon, and now we can add Shavuos HaDayanan, where the halacha requires that you have to understand it, would there be a difference between Lashon Kodesh and other languages? We saw that in Kriyat Shema, there is a fundamental difference made in Reb Kibega, in the Mishnah Brura, and his Bir Halacha. We saw it in the Rambam, basically, that Lashon Kodesh gets a separate status. Would that apply in other cases? Sota, let's take a look at the Rambam in Sota and see if the Rambam indicates that there's any difference between Lashon... Oh, we don't have the Rambam in Sota. Do you have it there? The Rambam in Sota, Paragimel, doesn't make any distinction between Lashon Kodesh and Shaar Lashonos, which leads me to the conclusion that in Sota, even in Lashon Kodesh, you'd have to understand exactly what's going on. And I have a Rashi, we all have a Rashi, that would support that. Why would Lashon Kodesh not play a role over here, Rabbi Osai? Exactly, Dvarim HaNichnasim El Liba. Whatever you want to tell me about Kriyat Shema, I'm going to have to rack our brains and figure out why in Kriyat Shema Lashon Kodesh takes on a special status. But in Sota, the halacha of Aji Mevina is universal to any language, including Lashon Kodesh, because Dvarim HaNichnasim El Liba. And therefore the Rambam in Hilchos Sota makes no distinction between Lashon Kodesh and other Lashonos. You have to understand what's being said. And then we extend that to the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos in Perikid Alpha. We saw it, the Rambam says that even though the minig is to be Mashbiyah Shavuos HaTayon and Belashon Kodesh, nevertheless we have to give him a crash course to make sure he understands every single word of the Shavuah. So what we saw in Kriyat Shema seems to be a unique halach in Kriyat Shema. Until Daniel tells me it's not a unique halach in Kriyat Shema. Why not? It applies to Megillah as well. So let's open up the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, and we'll see that the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah might just be identical to the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, the way we interpret the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyat Shema. Meaning, you know, all the diyukim in the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyat Shema are very fine and dandy, but the Rambam doesn't say explicitly in Hilchos Kriyat Shema there's a difference between Lashon Kodesh and other languages. We saw it amongst the Acharonim, but we didn't see it explicitly in the Rambam. We derived it by induction, but in Megillah the Rambam is explicit. He's outspoken. He says, "Hakorei."
Where is it?
Perek Beis Milchus Megillah. Halacha Gimel, I think it was. Do you have it on the page? Where is it? Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. No. Okay. He says the following: Haloes Sheshomas a Megillah. Afal Pish Eni Yodei Ma'im Omrim Yotzi Lechovaso. Okay. What's the case over here? The Rambam says that a person is a loes. He speaks another language. And the Megillah is written in Lashon Kodesh, and it's read in Lashon Kodesh. Says the Rambam, Afal Pisha Eni Odea Mayim Omrim Yotzi Yidei Chovaso. Then the Rambam says in Halacha Dalet, Hoysak Suva Targum, Targum means translation of other languages. Says the Rambam, Lo Yotzi Yidei Chovas Kriya Elo Kishema Hamakir Osa Haloshim Vilvad. It can't be more black and white. Here we have a precedent to distinguish between the status of Kriyat Shema, I'm sorry, the status of Lashon Kodesh and the status of other Lashonos. The Rambam says that if you're reading the Megillah in other Lashonos, then you have to know what you're reading. You have to understand that language. So if I'm French and I hear it in Spanish, and I don't know Spanish, I wasn't Yotze. On the other hand, the Rambam says if you read the Megillah in Lashon Kodesh, and you're a Lois, He says, he has no clue. He doesn't understand. Nevertheless, and now we could say the Kriyat Shema. We feel a little bit more comfortable making that distinction, which is brought down by Rabbi Kivegan in his Tshuvas and codified by the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Kriyat Shema Samach Kiv. Some of these. Yisdach Rabosai, I come back to ask the following question. Why is it that in Kriyat Shema and in Kriyas HaMegillah, my ability to be Yotzei the Kriya in Lashon Kodesh is so far reaching that it includes even the case where I don't understand what's being read? Whereas in Sota and in Shavuos, the Rambam requires that I understand the language that's being recited, and the Rama makes no distinction between Lashon Kodesh and other languages. By implication, I understand that in other languages, I have to that not only in other languages, but even in Lashon HaKodesh, I have to understand every word that I'm reciting. Why? And Rabosai, before you answer that question, and Rabbi Sacklitz, you touched on this before, what's the rule and what's the exception? I always find methodologically that's a good way of approaching the logic of a sugya. When you have cases X, Y, and Z that fit under one pattern, and cases A, B, and C that fit under another pattern, the first thing you should ask yourself is, what's the rule and what's the exception to the rule? Meaning, intuitively, what would you say? Until I prove you otherwise, and I convince you that you're wrong, what would be your knee-jerk response?
You have to understand.
You have to understand what difference it makes if it's Lashon Kodesh. You want to tell me that it's Abzunder Allah in Lashon Kodesh that I don't have to understand? Give me some sort of leg to stand on. And again, we have many legs to stand on, but what's the reason for that? And we're both, I think there's a very, very fundamental answer. What is common to both Kriyat Shema and Megillah, and is inapplicable to all the other cases?
Kriya.
Add one more word, if you don't mind. I'm sorry, I'm pushing you. Kriyas what?
Text.
A text, okay, that's good. You're 99% through. I just need one more word. A text in what? Where is this text? I mean, is it the Bill of Rights, or I don't know, is it the Declaration, whatever it's called? Where is the text?
No.
In all these cases, we're talking about Lashon Kodesh. But Rabbi Sachnowitz is pointing out there's this text. Where is that text? Where do I find it? I went to the archives in the library, I didn't find it. Where is it? It's in the Torah itself. In other words, in Kriyat Shema and Megillah, I'm reading a parsha in the Torah. I would suggest the following. Let me just throw out my idea, because you know I'm like a Navi Shekavash and Snuvah, so I'm like plotting to offer this as a major breakthrough here. In certain cases, the language that I use is a means to an end, and the end is to convey a message. In other cases, the language that I use is really an end unto itself. It has inherent meaning to it. Let me explain. In the case of Kriyat Shema, the Torah requires that I read three parshiyos in the Torah. My language, my recitation, is not an effort in communication, in expressing ideas and transferring them from me to you or from me to God. That's not what it's all about. What it's about is reading a parsha in the Torah. Now, there may be other elements that are secondary, but the primary element is reading the parsha. The Chachamim of Rebbe come up with a radical chiddush. You know what? You can even accomplish that goal by reading parsha's Kriyat Shema in a different language. Here the halacha gets very meticulous. Gets down to the nitty-gritties. If you're reading it in the original Lashon Kodesh Kiksava the way it was given, then that itself is meaningful. Again, you're going to need kavanah, says the Rambam in Pasuk Rishon. What kavanah is that? Kavol Sol Malchus Shamayim. That's the prerequisite. You now have a kavol O Malchus Shamayim. You're on board. You're on base. As long as you read the Parsha Kiksov. Kriyas HaMegillah. There's a Megillah that was given Kiksava as one of the Kisvei HaKodesh. I mean, again, Esther had a hard time convincing the Chachamim to incorporate Megillah, but at the end of the day, Baruch Hashem, she succeeded. So we have amongst the Chafdal and Sfarim, we have Megillah's Esther. There's a Ksav. Therefore, the Ksav, if I read it in its original, the way it was given, meaning the Ksivas Lashon Kodesh is itself what endows the status as Kiksava, the words themselves in Lashon Kodesh have meaning, then all the understanding and the interpretations are secondary. Not so if I read Kriyat Shema or Megillah in a different language. If I choose to read them in a different language, I don't have that added advantage of Kiksava, of reading it the way it was written, because I no longer have a Lashon Kodesh. I could be Yotze, but it's a substitute that barely sizes up to the original. Here I need something, an agent, if you will, to activate and upgrade my recitation to as if I read a Kiksava. I've got to give the words a certain status. How do I do that? What do I employ? What method? Havana. My understanding now allows this recitation in another language to be meaningful and upgraded to a level of Kiksava. That's true with regard to Kriyat Shema and with regard to Kriyas HaMegillah. It's not true with regard to Sota, with regard to Shavuos HaEdus, Shavuos HaDayanim, and it's not even the case with regard to Brachos and Tefillah. I'll tell you why. Because in all those other cases, the Torah is asking us to convey a message, to express an idea. Says Rashi and Sot, it's got to be Dvarim HaNichnasim El Liva. Certainly in the case of Tefillah, it's got to be Tefillah Rachmeninhu, which means a Bakoshes Rachmin. And likewise, as far as Shvua is concerned, the Shvua has to express an idea that I accept upon myself an absolute commitment that either I didn't take your property, or if I have testimony, I'll come forward and testify on your behalf. In all these cases, there is no difference between Lashon Kodesh and any other language. Because in this context, Lashon Kodesh has no special status. It's another method, another option, a different language. Again, I'm not trying to insult Lashon Kodesh, but it's another language to express the ideas that are written in the parasha. The Sota has to understand Alma Nitmeis and Alma Mashbino Sof, Alma Shosa, etc., etc. She can use Lashon Kodesh to express those words, just like if I accept a Shvuah upon myself, I can give that Shvuah meaning because I understand what I'm expressing. So if I decide to opt for Lashon Kodesh, that's fine, but Lashon Kodesh is a language like any other language in this context. And therefore, with regard to Birchas HaMazon, when I thank Hashem for the food He gave me, it doesn't matter whether I utilize Lashon Kodesh or I utilize any other language. There's no Kiksav over here. Birchas HaMazon is not a formulated, well-defined, frozen-in-stone parsha with the words of the Torah. And therefore, Lashon Kodesh is another language, like any other language, by which I employ as a method to express what I want to say.
Vidui
Meiser means that I tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu I did what I had to do. The Mishnah calls it Vidui. Why is the Mishnah called Vidui? Vidui means, did I live up to the standards of the Torah? I'm not necessarily reading a parasha. Again, you could have gone the other way, I admit. But if our diuk, both in the Gemara and in the Rambam, is correct, then we're going to have to conclude that even Vidui Maser is not a Kriyas HaParsha Kiksova. The halach of any language means that it's just a matter of expressing what I wanted to say. Rabbo said, before you go, I want to tell you that I like the Shia today. I'm giving myself a grade. But it's against Tosfos. That's my only problem. And if you could somehow help me out with this Tosfos. This is the first Tosfos in Masecht Nedarim. Who learned Nedarim recently? We're my Daf Yomi guys. Okay, you learn with Tosfos? No. You should know that even those who learn Nedarim Be'iyun usually don't learn Tosfos, because Tosfos is secondary. It's the Ran is the Prit. Anyway, Tosfos at the beginning of Masecht Nedarim wants to understand the concept called Kinui Nedarim. There are various words that substitute for the word karma. Like, for example, usually when I want to take something and aser it on myself as a neder, I say kikarba. Chazal were worried about that because he might say Lashem karba, then if he says Lashem, he won't say karba, and the whole ganze of business. So there's something called kinui nedarim. Now, in kinui nedarim, the Gemara gives all sorts of words that can substitute for the word karba. And the Gemara advocates that we use those words rather than the word karba. So Tosis wants to understand, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's machlokas in the Gemara, but Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that kinyan nedarim on ne'amar b'chol lashon, it could be any language, French, Spanish, and so forth and so on. So therefore he asks the question, why does the Mishnah therefore speak about kinyan nedarim, which are in lashon kodesh, and yet, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's ne'amar b'chol lashon? And he quotes the Ri. Again, I couldn't find the Gemara Nedarim, so I'm trying to look at this very small print, and I'll let you go right away. I just want to read this to you. He says, "V'kashal amandi amar lashon nedarim." I'm sorry, "lashon nachrim amai naket hani lishni lema bichal halashonos shehem nodrim bilashonam yehi net v'omari vadai im yehi bilashonam." Yehei neder achrei shehem mevinim v'sagi there's not enough light here for me to make it out in the basement. You have it? Honey? I'm sorry, I can't make it out. It's way too small.
Oh.
Unbelievable. You hear this from both sides. Tulsa wants to know, again, now that I heard it, it's okay. Tulsa wants to know, why does the Mishnah have kinui nedarim v'lashon kodesh? After all, according to Rabbi Yochanan, any kinu you'll do, b'chol lashon shel nachrim, French, Spanish, Italian, whatever it might be. So Tosa's looking for an understanding of what the special status of lashon kodesh is as far as nedarim is concerned. And the Ri of the Baal Tosva says that when I take a neder, b'lashon kodesh, even if I don't understand what I've said, the neder is chal. Now this, Rabosa, makes no sense, because bishlam in Kriyat Shema and in Kriyat Megillah, we could argue that even if you don't understand lashon kodesh is meaningful, it has a special status because you're reading a kiksava. But in the case of the Darim, clearly the lashon haneder is nothing more than a means, a conduit to express that you want to accept upon yourself an isa neder. Why would lashon kodesh have a special status that even if I don't understand the language, I can still take upon myself the neder? How is it different than shvus hapikon, shvus haedus, shvus hadayonim, from sota, from brachos, and from tefillah? Okay, so that's what bothers me. I just wanted to leave you with that thought question.
Back to Bidui Maisur. Why is it that the Rambam doesn't say specifically she has to understand? Why is it? Well, okay, but because I'm communicating. But why? Where is the lack of habana? Why the Rambam doesn't stress habana in Bidui Maisur?
Right. So the part of the shiur that I didn't get to today is, and this is where Rabbi was just touching on this at the beginning of the shiur, is that I definitely understand the general concept of what I'm doing here. Otherwise, I'm a misasek. I mean, it's meaningless. But what I don't understand is the specific meaning of each word. So the Rambam says that in the case of Sota and in the case of Shvua, I have to understand the meaning of every single word, and even if I recite it in Lashon Kodesh. In the case of Vidui Maaseh, the Rambam says that as long as I understand the Inyan, Bechlaluso, in general, and I'm reciting it as in a different language as a translation of whatever Vidui Maaseh has to be, right? Lo chalti mioni mimeno, lo chalti mimei, so blah, blah, blah. Then the Rambam says I'm Yotz.
Even if you don't understand it, blahs.
Correct. Why are you saying whether you don't understand it, Pelaz, or you don't understand it, Pelaz, and Kolskein, if you don't understand Pelaz.
Would you say that in Megillah, somebody would have to have at least understanding why you're there, why you're listening?
It's got to be in a language.
That depends on whether Pirsa Manes,
right, something.
The question is whether Pirsa Manes is an essential part of the mitzvah of Kriya, of Kriya Samegillah. If I assume that, you know, it's not just Kriya, but it's also Pirsa Manes, then if he has no idea what we're doing, but I would say that if somebody would come into shul for Kriya Samegillah, he doesn't understand the word of Lashon Kodesh, and we don't get a chance to tell him what's going on, he was yotzei part of the mitzvah. Thus, the Kriya itself would be meaningful, even if he doesn't understand the word. So you'll, tomorrow you'll be there. Yeah. So if I don't see you, have a nice summer.
You can have a possibility.
So no
French.
Well, no, it depends if there's a petition. Okay, so far I have one person who wants to hear a shiur. Okay, one is better than zero.
We have a category now of Kriya Satora.
Yes.
We have a category now of communication.
Perform.
What would be the third category that would help to find those items that might be done with
the Torah says you have to say
the next one of the Mishnah is Ve'elehem
Yishua.
So it can't be Kriya Satora because that is you can do all that. It can't be Havana because that also becomes a substantial. What is that third category of Mishnah that would define something that we require for
Well, the first question I want to ask you is, because I didn't get a chance to go through the sugya, does the Gemara quote a pasuk for that?
There's no question.
That's important for us. Chalitza. Let's see if we can get to Mikra Bikurim and Chalitza. Let's see.
So that's all pasuk.
So that's already
very straightforward.
The Anisa V'Amarta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So Rabbi, if I don't see you, have a good summer. Wednesday you won't be here.
You're going to let us know when you're going to
start. Oh, what about us getting together on Shabbos? So we need to finalize that. I don't know. Maybe this coming Shabbos. It's Shabbos Chazon. I don't know if you have any problem with that. Do you want to talk to your Rebbe? And if not this Shabbos, maybe the one after. So you have two choices. After that, I'm taking off. Okay, good. Thanks. Only if you want a Rabbi, don't feel uncomfortable. Okay.
You have to follow all the way through.
So what's Vanisa Vamarta? Where is that? Anyway, I'm not sure what the Gemara gets here from Levi right now. Okay, but one thing is clear: the Gemara needs a special Xeris Akosu. Right. So now you know you want to go a step further, and I don't blame you. I also feel why. What's the meaning of this Xeris Akosu? You know, it's Xeris Akosu, but put it into some perspective. One thing is clear that Mikra Bikurim is reading a kiksava the way it was given at Sinai, but the extra drasha of the Omar, you know, Kolosh and all that's lost because Vanisa means like the Levian. Oh, and look at this in Chalitza, it's Kacha.
The word says
kacha. Kacha dafka means v'lashon kodesh. So that's interesting that the Gemara has exeris hakosu. I'm assuming that pattern is repeated.
Intuitively, for me, I would say all things have to be in lashon kodesh. You need extra. You can tell you otherwise. Here it says the opposite.
Well,
I've learned that the classic is anything you want to do. I need a pasuk to tell me only lashon kodesh, which is the counterintuitive.
Right. No, I think what the Gemara is saying like this: that in every single mitzvah, we have to look into the Torah and define whether the mitzvah comes under, like in the case of Sota, a what I call a communication in which Lashon Kodesh is just one language amongst many, or the Torah really wants you to read it as it's given. So for example, Rebbe, again you have to ask why Rebbe needs Vahayu, but in any event, Rebbe derives that Kriyat Shema means reading a kiksava. And in Chalitza it says Kacha, Chalitza has to be read kiksava.
And Bikurim, it says via Nisa.
Right,
via Marta. Just to say via Marta. So when it's Amira, we can define it as an Amira that's called Koleles.
Right.
And the language is just a conduit to express a certain idea, and therefore B'chol Lashon. But when it's not just via Marta, it's not just Amira, but it's Kacha, or it's via Nisa via Marta, then the Torah is saying, I want a Kiksava, and then we swing back to Revi, the paradigm of Kriyat Shema, according to Revi, Vahayu is Dafka V'Lashon Kodesh Kiksava. And so interesting that Rebbe, when he formulated his halacha, he doesn't write v'hayu b'lashon kodesh, he writes v'hayu kiksava. Isn't that so? And Rashi says kiksava b'lashon kodesh. Why? Because maybe Rebbe wants to teach us a principle here. He's not focused on this specific, singled out this case of Kriyat Shema, the Kriyat Shema has to be recited in b'lashon kodesh. He wants to even go beyond that. He wants to tell you that whenever there's halacha of kiksava, until it says V'amar or whatever ribu you're going to have, I'm going to assume kiksava means V'lashon HaKodesh. And that principle, which is I think a binyan av, Rebbe derives from V'hoi, from the word V'hoi.
Yeah, all right.
The Chachamim on the other hand go the other way. They have Shema, B'chol Hashem Tashomea, and even when there's halacha kiksava, it's B'chol Lashon. The only problem is, see, according to Rebbe Kiviga, there's a little bit of the Rebbe Kiviga is in Chuvus. Yeah, I have Rav Kivega's Chuvus.
What is it? It's in the Chuvus.
Yeah, Shuvus Chelik Dalit Simon Tes. You see, he says, Shimkorei Kriyat Shema B'Loshon HaKodesh Eino Tzarech LaHavin Es Pirush HaMilus. And this is what, I don't know why the Mishmur doesn't quote Rav Kivega, but that's what he's codifying there in the Bir Aloch. So what I just want to point out to you is that the Chachamim derived this from the word Shema, B'chol Loshon Shatashomer. And we were medayik, and I think the Rambam was medayik, that ata shomea, why did the Chachom and the Braisa add those two words, ata shomea, means ata makira,
right,
or bevina, whatever the list
right. Is. Exactly, first to even Lashon Kodesh.
Oh, that's the question I wanted to ask you, even according to Rabbi Kivega, that in Lashon Kodesh, I don't need ata mevina. Why did the Chachom say ata mevina? The first answer is because they wanted to derive a conclusion, not just lemiut, but also larabos. Meaning, they weren't just trying to tell you that you know you could use that you could that you don't you know. Do you understand? Do you not understand? They want to know if you could use other languages. Meaning, was Rebbe set Kriyat Shema as your paradigm of kiksava, and therefore he requires Lashon Kodesh? The Chachamim took the word Shema, and they said that although there is halacha of kiksava, there's also an additional halacha of B'chol Lashon Shatashomea. And the Torah recognized B'chol Lashon Shatashomea for the Kiyum of Kriyat Shema. Now we go back to Kiksava and we say the following. The Chacham have two dinim. There's Tzvei dinim in Kriyat Shema. There's one of dinim Kiksava, which Rebbe and Chacham are in agreement with, and that's B'Lashon Kodesh. And there's an additional din which only the Chachamim have of B'chol Lashon Shatashomea. That even when there's Allah and a Kiyum of Kiksava, the Torah still recognizes other Lashonos, if it's an accurate translation. But they're two different halachas, and they're fundamentally different. The Nafkamina is that if you're reading a Kiksava, the Ksav itself gives meaning and significance to your recitation, even if you don't understand it. But if you're expanding it to B'chol Lashon Shatashomea, meaning you're no longer limited to Kiksava, now you drop down a level. Now you have to sort of pump it up by having an understanding of Havana of this. So two different halachas. So that's very fascinating. The Rebbe works with one halach in Kriyat Shema, Kiksava, therefore he requires Lashon Kodesh. Chachomim agree to Rebbe, there is a special status to Kiksava, it's a special kiyum, and the Nafkamina is that you don't have to pump it up, as we said. But the Chachomim broaden the horizons, and they have this Rebbe of Shema, and that Rebbe of Shema is going to have repercussions straight throughout. That whenever the Torah requires kiksava, we're going to always have to ask ourselves the question, what does the Torah mean?
Right.
Does it mean V'yomar? Or does it mean V'yonisa V'yomar?
Right.
And that's the mission in Sof.
Okay. It just seemed to me that in Pashtus, as you look at it, whether this is a mitzvah they're talking about, or whether this is a means to accomplishing something.
Excellent. The Rav has this in his Shi'urim. I don't remember how he develops this, but he wants to say that the difference between Kriyat Shema and Sota is that Kriya Shema is a mitzvah.
Right.
Sota he calls a machshir. That's what he uses the word machshir.
I mean, a woman has got, she can't say amen, amen to something she doesn't understand. There's no way you can read it 1,000 times. And
right.
You can read it in Hasidic, you can read it
right.
In
the mitzvah element itself makes it into like ceremonies. It's ceremonies, right. It's a ritual.
That's right.
And within the context of that ritual, it's less important if you understand it, if you don't understand.
Yeah, but
when we drop down to Sota, right. And there.
And Shavuos and also Shavuos.
And Shavuos and so forth, right. We're no longer talking about a ritual, right. We're talking about a hechsher, you know.
Like you're trying to get to some piece of information.
Information, right. And manus or
right.
Whatever.
Whatever it is, you can't right. Do it. And you can't say that you just mumble a bunch of words.
Excellent.
It's different than,
excellent.
Than
excellent.
You have a lulav, you have arba minim, and you don't understand what are the in the spheros that arba minim does. But if you shook the arba minim, you yaitse, period, finished. That's the end of it. All right,
it's good. No,
very good.
Good.
So what's the bottom line? We have
so I have one person who's interested. If you want to add your name to the list, I don't know. You don't have to come. I don't want you to feel that you have to come.
Talking about to me, it's not. It's no different.